There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that.
This is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby. That's right. This man knows what's up.
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
Right, here we go. FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile on this Friday. Glad to have y'all along. And good to check in with my buddy Ron at Mobile Bay Coins and Fine Jewelry. We've had so many discussions over time about what Ron could talk about, like all the collectibles and the great gift ideas and Christmas is coming up. But listening to Ron and taking what's happening with precious metal prices and seeing it as projections into politics, it's a world that fascinates me. Ron joining us again. What are we doing, man? What's happening here 2 days out from the victory for Trump?
Yeah, it was awesome, wasn't it? It was a late night for everybody, I'm sure. The day after, on the 6th, the dollar, the stock market, everything went up. And when the dollar goes up, obviously precious metals inversely go down because they're priced in U.S. dollars. But they rebounded and they're pretty much right back to where they were the day after. So it created a one-day opportunity for people to really jump in and snag gold and silver, and a lot of people did, even though it was raining and kind of yucky out. Mm-hmm. People still got out, trudged out, many of them just to buy the 1 ounce silver Trump rounds that are out and available, have been selling like wildfire. People were buying them before him, but once he won it, they really took off.
So you still have those in stock?
We still have plenty in stock, and we just reordered more today, but we do have plenty right now. Unless somebody comes in and buys 100 of each type, we have plenty for, you know, a short term. But we try to keep him in stock all the time, and now that he's back in office for the next 4 years, we should have no problem keeping him in stock.
Right. And the other leading economic indicator, it's been fascinating to me, because, I don't know, a year or two ago, you and I started talking about platinum and palladium. We're talking about people getting their catalytic converters stolen and the whys of that. And you said, yeah, that drives these prices on, you got to look at how many are they making, how many new cars, what are they going with, and that drives that price. What's going on with that? I mean, do you think, is there any tell there that you think the economy's coming back and more new cars are going to be made? What did those prices do?
They did not go up a whole lot. In fact, they didn't drop a whole lot. They dropped almost exactly equal to the decrease in the dollar and then rose back up when the dollar dropped. So there's still more people are buying gold and silver than anything else. There's been so much hoopla out there with different banks that have been shorting silver and driving the prices actually up instead of down. It's gotten a lot of press in the last year, especially in the last few months. So silver's been very hot because it's kind of like the poor man's gold. A lot of people can afford to buy silver, but they can't afford an ounce of gold. So a lot of people buy silver and trade for gold down the road. So as long as you're adding it to a hedge, it really doesn't matter what precious metal, as long as it's a precious metal, not coffee beans or something that, you know, could rot or go away, right, or rats could eat. You want something in a hedge that's long-term.
And listen, I am that poor man's gold that he described because, a decade plus ago, y'all got me doing silver, and that's what I've done, and it's been... It's appreciated nicely, so I appreciate that. It's been a great thing. All right, people want to come in there and get the education on precious metals, or, yeah, like, there are those people that do their Christmas shopping in November. Talk about your hours and where they can find you.
Yeah, Monday through Friday, we're open 9 to 5, and they can find us at 2204 Government Street in Midtown Mobile. They can find us on the web at mobilebaycoins.com. They can give us a call, 251-725-1590, and we will be open every Saturday in December, all the way up to Christmas. So there'll be plenty of Saturday shopping time available for last-minute people. But get in early if you're looking for Trump rounds or engravables, especially the Christmas designs, because the nice designs, the popular designs go quick.
Good stuff. Ron, as always, I appreciate it. We'll talk again next week.
Thank you, Sir John.
All right, there he goes. Ron at Mobile Bay Coins and Fine Jewelry. Speaking of other things that appreciated, And I appreciate my buddy Dalton walking in. Is it true that on occasion I'll go, I should be buying some Bitcoin today?
Yeah, right, on occasion.
Well, there's
well, on occasion over about 4 years.
Yes, when everybody says it's horrible, you know, I think it says in the show bio or on the website, I think I'm a contrarian. That's kind of just, you know, part of, I don't know, it's how God made me. So when everybody runs one way, I run the other. But and I got serious about it, but didn't I open the account and did everything back in August? Okay, so I opened this the trading account deal. And so the price then, let's see.
Don't do this to yourself, by the way.
I've done this to myself about 20 times here. Recently, I've done this to myself. You've got, here we go. We're letting people in the station as we're doing the show. So August 4th, it was at $60,761 U.S.
Okay.
For a Bitcoin. It's a lot. I wasn't, contrary to popular belief, I wasn't slapping leather and going and buying one, but you can buy fractional, you know.
Right, yeah.
I was like, you know, it's probably going to be a big. As of right now, it's at $76,922.76.
That would have been a nice time to get in.
It would have been a good time. I did not. I talked about it. I opened the account. Did any of y'all, do y'all ever do that to yourselves? Like, you're like, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this. And I'll do it Monday.
Yeah. It happens to me all the time. And, I've told my fumbled the bag Bitcoin story plenty of times off air. I haven't really said it on here. I think statute of limit. You know, do you know what I'm talking about? My
fumbled it.
Fumbled the bag. So when Bitcoin, and I need to look back at what it was trading at the time, and I think the statute of limitations might be up on this.
Okay, good.
But, you know, there are offshore sports,
yes,
gambling.
Wagering
sites.
What's the term they use in the legislature?
Gaming.
Gaming.
Yes,
gaming. Gaming.
And back in college, so this was probably 2010, 2011, 2012, somewhere around that range, maybe a little later. And there's just a cryptocurrency gaming site, a sports book, basically. And, you know, already for some of these, you would use crypto. You would convert your in order to fund your account, which I did a lot more funding than I did withdrawing. But you would use cryptocurrency, right?
Uh-huh.
And so you would convert your cash to crypto and then you'd dump it into your account and then you'd
use that to
play games.
To game.
Exactly. And so I did this cryptocurrency site back then at Nitro. Well, I'm not even going to put the name out there.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
And I looked back at you know, a few years later, and I was gambling in Bitcoins.
Yes.
I was using Bitcoins. Like you said, you didn't want to go on. So
you had more than one Bitcoin.
Right. But at the time, it was trading so low.
What if you would have just forgot about them and left them there?
And, you know, honestly, I don't think it was a full Bitcoin, but what I at the time felt like I was doing was playing a game for $10
right.
or $15. And I would put it in the calculator every time.
What would that be worth now?
Well, I went back and looked years later, and I was basically playing $10,000 games.
In today's
number of the crypto. So for back then, it was just $10, you know? I'll put $10 here.
Yeah, sure.
Maybe $5 there. And then you go back years later and look at what you were doing and then retranslate the crypto into cash.
Ow.
Yeah. And so I was like, oh, man, maybe I shouldn't have been doing that. I should have just been buying it and holding on to it.
Right.
Well, that was the real game.
Yeah, so it's 76,000 something today. I mean, you could be like, remember 50 Cent, 50? They paid him something in for one of his albums or something, he got paid some in Bitcoin.
Yeah, he was like one of the first to really jump in, right?
And he took it in Bitcoin. And I think, some of the stories say he made $7-8 million just over, you know, the appreciation on the Bitcoin.
Man,
so there you go.
He's a businessman, by the way.
Yeah,
really good businessman.
I thought about it, but didn't do it. okay, so I want to go through a couple texts here, and then you and I, if you can hang out a little bit, I want to run through a couple stories here.
Sure.
So people are questioning what Congressman Carl had talked about with Ukraine. And there's so many of these. There are people saying, you know, about continuing, and y'all know that I'm a let's get this thing resolved person. I think what the congressman was saying, though, is he sees – the technology there in that could make it end more quickly. I'm just looking at this like just a regular guy. Anytime if Ukraine could do something now, and they could do something now like the Kursk, get a big block of land in Russia, then maybe they can get the negotiating table. You've got to have something
leverage.
You got to have leverage when you go in. I just want to see peace come. So if in short term they've got all these weapons, drones, whatever, and they do, you know, they shot missiles into Russia yesterday, right? And if they go on a big offensive here or whatever they gain at that point, okay, then get to the negotiation.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I think because looking at these texts, I think with the congressman, and he said to me off the air too, he said, either do or don't.
Yeah.
Either make this run and push it hard here, or because he's not for any further funding or just cut off the funding.
Yeah. And, you know, what happens when the U.S. cuts off funding? Because there's a lot of political leaders in Europe who want to keep this going. What's Zelensky's red line for negotiations? And does Zelensky's red line really even matter? Like, what Zelensky wants out of this whole thing, how important is that compared to what the U.S. and the rest of the West is willing to give up as far as Ukraine's concerned?
Right. I don't know. What's it worth doing is you ask different people, and they'd have different takes on it.
No doubt.
Ask Lockheed Martin. They'd say, oh, everything. Keep it going. All right. And thank you for some further text here. Did we talk about the Iranian plot? You and I talked off air. The Iranian plot to assassinate Trump before he's reelected, thwarted by the FBI. Y'all remember that we've been talking about this a long time on the show, back when Christopher Wray, a year ago or something, said, by the way, we have an Iranian assassin in the country we're looking for. Mm-hmm. I said, that's kind of a big story.
And was he the one looking for Pompeo and Bolton?
Yes, Pompeo, Bolton, Trump. He had a list of people, and he was trying to recruit other people to work with him. They make this bust. And now another story coming out today from Wall Street Journal. I saw it a couple of different places that it was about, let's see here. It says, the Federal Bureau of Investigations thwarted an Iranian plot to assassinate Donald Trump before he was reelected as president. The Justice Department said in a case unsealed Friday that underscores a barrage of security threats Trump faces even before he takes office. Okay, I thought we had, I guess it's an additional one because it says Iranian operative told law enforcement that an official in Iran's paramilitary Revolutionary Guard directed him in September to put together a plan to surveil and ultimately kill Trump. Federal prosecutors in Manhattan said in the criminal complaint. So this, in addition to, I guess, maybe
it's,
more
it's
than one.
Another one, okay. Right? And so I'm looking at the story from the New York Post as well, and they said they arrested two New Yorkers along with this Iranian Farhad Shakiri for murder for hire and conspiracy. An unnamed official with the IRGC instructed Shakiri in the final weeks of the campaign, so just here recently, to focus on surveilling and ultimately assassinating former President of the United States, Donald J. Trump. Prosecutors say that when Shakiri noted the plot would cost a huge amount of money, the IRGC official said, we have already spent a lot of money, so the money's not an issue. And then in a phone conversation with an FBI agent, Shakiri said that he was instructed by the IRGC on October 7th, so a month and a day ago, to have a plan in place to kill Trump, quote, within 7 days. And they said if Shakiri did not meet his deadline, the hit on Trump would be postponed until after the election. And I was looking on Twitter.
They talk about how much money it would cost, and I'm not trying to be flippant here. Maybe I'll sound flippant. But Dirtbag, and I'll identify it because I usually don't say crooks, and that's all I'll say.
Because there's multiple dirtbags in this situation.
And y'all knew this show. I don't like when you have mass killers or assassins, and I just don't use their name. But that guy did it on a budget. Right,
he did shoestring budget.
Yeah, shoestring budget there with the being on the roof. So,
and what else have we learned about crooks and his family?
Well, we've learned. Where's it? You got the toxicology?
No, I haven't seen it.
Any research into why his phone was pinging near FBI headquarters?
You know, they noted that, but then I didn't hear anything else about that.
What about the fact that I've read two stories about this, that his house had been like completely cleaned
within like a couple weeks, right?
Yeah. We hear anything more about why that happened?
No, and that's absolutely insane. That story's just completely fallen off the place of the earth, the face of the earth. But Chuck Ross, journalist, investigative reporter at the Washington Free Beacon, he said, wild details about the Iranian murder-for-hire plot against Trump. The ringleader is a Tehran-based Afghan national who came to the U.S. as a kid but was deported after serving time in New York prisons, where he became part of a criminal network involved in this assassination plot. I guess he got convicted in 94 for robbery while he was in New York and had 14 years and then was sent, back. And that's where he became involved, I guess, with the IRGC. But the top tweet here is, can't believe there was a time that people actually went to jail for robbery, let alone 14 years.
We'll see. I mean, if we talk about mass deportations, how about Iranian assassins first?
I think that would be a good place to start. But then again, they seem to be kind of bad at it. Like, yeah, I mean, they keep saying
it. It only takes one.
It only takes one. You're right. But, I mean, a month before the election, the IRGC is giving them a call and saying, hey, can you get this done in 7 days? It's just kind of strange the way they've been going about it, I guess.
Okay, well, we'll come back, get your text about this. A couple other stories right now that are bouncing around that we're going to talk about. And a little update here. I screwed that up. I thought Sergeant Major Battaglia would be in today. He's going to be in on a week from today. So I just got to do better with calendars. But I will have, just looking at next week, on Tuesday, day after Veterans Day, Admiral Davis will join me on Midday Mobile. So make sure you put that in your to-listen-to list. Yeah.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, 125 FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile. Dalton Orwig in studio with me. This is good. I want to talk about a couple things too that he's good on. If you haven't gotten your picks in yet, college pick 'em,
do it.
Make sure you get those done.
I know you haven't been looking hard at the top of the leaderboard.
Because I'm not there.
I'm not. I'm behind you, I think, by the way.
That's ridiculous.
Not good. But we have like 25, 30 people that might win this thing still in the mix. That's how you do it. That makes it fun at the end of the year.
All right. So y'all start trash talking on there if you're in the top ranks. And then somebody from the basement like me can trash talk as well. Also, I mentioned it earlier, but Monday morning. So coming up Monday morning early, Dan and Dalton, y'all will be downtown at the start of the Veterans Parade.
Mm-hmm.
They're doing Mobile Mornings down there.
We will be down there. They're going to line the floats and everybody up on Canal. And we will be on that little Canal service road that's just north of Canal Street.
Yep.
So find us. I mean, we'll be in the Mobile Command Unit. Not hard to find. We'll have those snacks, breakfast snacks for mm-hmm. you, some drinks, and we'll be talking to veterans. It's going to be a fantastic time.
Yeah, our man Wayne Biggs from Azalea Coffee already brought the Palace of Water here. Mm-hmm. Then we're going to have coffee, water, healthy breakfast, and donuts in the mix as well. Also on this, as we continue with Veterans Month, Dr. Mariana had texted in and said, Dr. Mariana has opened a music studio and is offering you and everyone at the station 25% off. We're probably good on the studio part, but it's Dr. Mariana said that goes for veterans and first responders as well. So if you want to go there, rockerdocmusic.org. You go on there and let them know you are a veteran or a first responder, you get that discount. So
that's awesome.
There you go. So thank you for that text. We'll keep reading those at 343-0106. You heard it in the update there from Devin Walsh, and the story that's been bouncing around, I guess, since last night I first heard about it, with universities in several states, Alabama being one of them, Texas, Georgia, Florida, Maryland, Pennsylvania, South Carolina, Ohio, New York, Massachusetts. Mm. They got these texts. I think they went to kids that were going to HBCUs, wasn't it?
I know at Bama they got some.
Okay, yeah, and they said they got some at South too, right, I guess? Students are getting text. Racist text, right?
Mm-hmm. Something about, like, plantations or something?
Plantations.
Like going back.
Yeah.
It's really...
And I look at this. Obviously, you can see Twitter, and believe me, when you go, was this really sent from some bigot out there who's doing that, or is it sent from somebody who wants to sow discontent because of the Trump win? Maybe we'll find that stuff out. I don't know if they'll dig to the bottom of this, because I mean, I'm still waiting to find out who leaked the Dobbs decision for the Supreme Court. Yeah. A couple years ago. But I'd say this too. I look at it. It's disgusting. I don't know where it came from, but it's not a actual, what they say it's threats. There's no reality in it. Is it bad? Yes. But is it like, if you threatened me with something, I don't know, that's not possible of happening.
Yeah.
It's offensive, but you just delete it and move on. I mean, I see enough things that come through a text line every day here that are offensive. You just, okay, move on.
Yeah, you would think so. And
I think it sucks that it happened, but I'm saying I don't know that it's, the story's made, you know, is like making its own gravy here.
And I think they said, somebody said they use like a Swedish VPN and they use these, this text service where you can get these fake numbers and have these texts sent out. I'm just, you know, I know there are racist people out there.
Yeah.
Are there racist people out there willing to put in that kind of legwork? I don't understand the point. I mean, Trump won, okay.
Yeah.
Who you wanted, it's so strange that somebody would do that.
If they, and does the message they send, does it have a possibility of happening? No. So it's just some bigoted message there.
Yeah.
Delete it and move the hell on. I live in 2024, y'all. All right, be right back.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 at Midday Mobile on this Friday. Glad to have you along. Check in with my buddy David McCrary at LCM Motor Cars. And it's been a big week there. I know y'all been busy. What's the inventory looking like now?
Inventory's good. We had a few other things come in. We got bought a 19 BMW 750i. Really nice car. It's got the M Sport package. We got a 15 Tahoe in, bucket seats in the center. We got a 2020 Chevrolet Silverado. We got a 2020 F-150. And we yesterday had a 2016 Ram with a Hemi crew cab come in. So we got a great inventory.
All right. People want to check out that inventory online or in person. Tell them how to find you.
We're at Highway 90 in Plantation, at Plantation and Theodore. It's 1 mile south of I-10, exit 15A. You give us a call at 251-375-0068 or go to the website, lcmmotorcars.com.
Thank you, David.
Have a good weekend.
Hey, you too. David McCrary checking in from LCM Motor Cars. All right, let's go back to the phones here. And I think Billy in Mobile up first, or Billy somewhere. Hey, Billy.
Hey, Sean. Look, I was just curious, that racist remarks and all that, what's the odds that is just like, you know, Russian collusion, one of those kind of things, just trying to drive a wedge a little deeper in the United States, you know, than the election did for them.
Oh, and that's the thing. My problem is I can't prove, like Terry says on the text line, sounds like a Russian or Iranian bot farm trying to cause unrest and controversy. It does seem like that. It seems even overly simplistic, right? And what they think would cause an issue. You know, it's not like something that can, like, it's a disgusting message, but it's not like something that could really happen. So I would just say delete and move on. You know, it's this idea that Trump wins. Now, that's the other thing, too, that I've seen out there, that Trump wins. So now the racists will come out. Well, wouldn't they have come out before? You know, I don't know. It just, it doesn't.
Well, he wouldn't have got the black vote the way he did. He wouldn't have got the Hispanic vote the way he did, if it's the way that the media wants to portray it.
Yeah, I mean, who would say, like, what at what measure would that come from, you know, like Trump world? Would somebody say, this is what we ought to do to support Trump? Let's send some bigoted crap to, you know, black kids.
Right. You know, Project 2025, you know, don't even know what's in it, you know, but they're going to hang that thing around his neck, you know, and now, you know, I just feel like, you know, that was just all just rhetoric, just something to try to stir the pot. And there's really, of course, there's nothing to it, as you said.
Yeah, we'll be and appreciate the call, Billy. And we'll see if we ever get to the bottom of it. Probably won't. News cycle will move on and we won't get to the bottom of it. But yeah, it seems like, I mean, and the, you know, something else I saw on Twitter, the people with the Project 2025. So you get somebody out there that's a Trump supporter and says, OK, now we're ready to go with Project 2025. And then the news site picks it up and says, Trump, it's time for Project 2025, Trump supporter says, or something like that. Well, dude man on Twitter saying it doesn't mean it's now agenda of the, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You could say any, I could play the same side. And listen, stories get sent to me. People are like, you see this, Sean? And I've seen it. It'll be like, whatever. Some super liberal person says they ought to do whatever. And then would I turn around and say, the Biden administration is moving? No, because it's just dude said it on Twitter. Doesn't mean it's like
true.
Yeah.
Or accurate. Even,
or linked to a certain administration.
Right. The Project 2025 thing, and that was, a Hail Mary from the Democrats that actually worked, you know, because there are so many think tanks on, well, both sides, but on the left, too. And if the Republicans played that game with Democrats for every candidate that's going into office, you would say, you know, look at the things the Southern Poverty Law Center is saying right now. Look at what this group is saying. They are off their rocker. And this is exactly what Joe Biden and Kamala Harris want. But the Republicans don't do that because if you're a common sense person, you'd go, well, that wouldn't work for them politically. So why in the heck would they even, you know, but with the Heritage Foundation and all of these other different groups, I mean, this was a massive kind of undertaking, and they, not all these groups think the same way. They're right. Not feeling the same way on abortion as somebody they might agree with on foreign policy, you mm-hmm. know, but they put in this huge piece of work. I mean, it's 1,000 pages at least,
they,
I think.
They do this every year.
And they do it every year, and that seemed to stick. And you read through it, and it's a lot of the things that conservatives have been asking for a very long time, and not nearly as, you know, apocalyptic as had made out to be, so in a bad way.
But there are some things in there that are well beyond the scope of what Trump would want to do.
I think so, for sure.
So, I mean, that's, it's, and by the way, it, on the text line too, Steve, thank you, I'm a critical thinker here, and I wondered this, but I didn't say anything about it. Steve said, how did they even know these kids were black?
That's what my first question was going to be.
I mean, that's what I thought at first when I saw it. It went to kids at HBCUs, which obviously are going to be, you know, black kids. But then it goes University of Alabama, South Alabama, you know, I don't know.
Yeah, and you think they maybe accidentally texted a white guy here or there, or maybe an Asian? Did it only go to black kids?
Yeah, I don't know how they figured that out. So that would be an interesting, interesting way, if they would even dig into this. I would love, because other people on the text line, you're right, and I saw this on Twitter, it sounds like a Juicy Smollett. How did Chappelle, you say it?
Was it Jussie, or did he say
Jussie Smollett or something
like that?
The Jussie Smollett thing, but yeah, he had however he pronounced it. You should crack me up.
Yeah, I love how everybody doing the Monday morning quarterbacking of the how Trump won. They say, well, it turned here. This is when the election turned towards Trump. You could say maybe it was the assassination attempt or this or that. Maybe what swung the election Trump's way was Dave Chappelle coming back to comedy about. Yep. 4 or 5 years ago, and really kind of opening the book on what you could say or not say again, and kind of putting things out there. Because remember, that was a pretty big moment when he came back, peak wokeness.
Yes.
And he crashes through that glass like the Kool-Aid man, kind
of. Oh, yeah, because he couldn't help it. If you're a comic of his level and you see something that's so ridiculous, you're like, oh, these are fertile fields right here for me right now. This will be easy.
And maybe that effort from him and other comedians and, you know, people in the media to at least knock some of those people off of the woke train.
Yep.
Doing that for 4 or 5 years was enough to maybe bring some folks over to Trump's way.
It's the Chappelle effect. I want to talk about this because C.B. Carl said it's like someone texted the morning show, how can Harris have a conciliatory speech after the election? She should have got up and shouted, the Nazis are coming. Well, this is a little bit of what happened with this interchange yesterday. And I saw this clip, and it was KJP.
Mm-hmm.
And she's doing the God's work of having to be the press secretary. Good on you if you
God
can do
bless.
It. Yeah, on there. But this is exactly what we heard. We heard that. I mean, even Oprah the other night at the end of the event there for Kamala Harris said, "This is going to be your last chance to vote," or something like that. This whole idea that this is the end of democracy. Trump gets in, you'll never. This is, you know, totalitarian government coming in. It'll never be undone. And I've just pointed out the number of Democrats that have been jockeying for the next cycles. So if they believe this is the end of everything, why are they spending money fundraising, putting campaigns together for the midterms in 22 and the presidential in 2024? I'm just looking at it that way. But this comes up of how the rhetoric changed from before Tuesday into Wednesday, Thursday, right? So what's going on here?
Well, you had, of course, Kamala, as you mentioned, she came out and gave her speech. It's never over. We haven't won, but it's never over, or something like that. And she says, you know, we will do the peaceful transition of power. And then Biden, like a brand new man.
Yeah,
I mean, he was doing crowd work yesterday. He was. I'd like to especially thank my niece there in the front row.
And shout out. Yeah.
It was amazing how he seemed to transition into another great candidate overnight. This is what he said that kind of brought on that Heinrich question for KJP that I'll bring up in a second.
The American experiment endures. We're going to be okay.
So it's Jackie Heinrich with Fox News. She's there listening to Biden, and then she goes to the presser with KJP, and she says, hey, you guys said a lot of things before the election. Now Biden's saying everything's going to be okay. How do you square that?
Yeah. This administration messaged to millions of Americans that they're going to wake up day after the election if Trump won and have their rights stripped away, that democracy would crumble, and the president said today we're going to be okay. So how do you square that?
Well, now you're just twisting everything around, and that's really unfair. No, it is. No, Jackie, it's unfair, because I've been standing here trying to be very respectful to what happened the last two nights ago. Being respectful. I've been standing here saying that we respect the decision that the American people made.
So, but what happened when it was going to be? Yeah, which one was it?
Was it the end of democracy? Is everything over? Why aren't you doing everything in your power to keep Hitler from... Or maybe you're doing it behind the scenes. I don't know. But I don't think Letitia James got the message that they were supposed to play nice after the election. Did you see what she and Hochul did? Kathy Hochul, the governor of New York?
Because I'm getting the idea. I hear some things that, hey, they're going to back off of prosecution and the Jack Smith thing and all this because, you know, you have a sitting president and all that. But I guess that didn't translate to Letitia James.
Not Letitia James. She said she's kind of been planning on this. And she takes so many pauses in this. It's like her big political moment. She thinks this is her, I guess. Tell me what you make of this.
Okay.
We did not expect this result, but we are prepared to respond to this result. And my office has been preparing for several months because we've been here before. We faced this challenge before, and we use the rule of law to fight back. And we are prepared to fight back once again.
Once again. It was like she was going for an Emmy there.
Yeah. So Lawfare is alive and well in New York.
In New York, Lawfare is alive and well. Hochul said, if you're a Republican, we don't want you here. This is a Democrat state, basically. Or she may have actually said that. And then you have Letitia James saying, hey, the Lawfare isn't over. We're still coming at you. Meanwhile, Jack Smith is wiping all the court deadlines he's given to Trump. They're figuring out how to get rid of those.
Yep.
The Fannie Willis case, pretty much dead and gone. And then you have the Eileen Cannon one as well. So, and she was already ending that one. That might have been a federal one as well. But it looks like they're all coming to an end. But you have Letitia James saying she's still going to go for it.
In New York, and we'll see. I mean, we'll see where that goes. You got a sitting president. Is she going to try to have him in the courtroom as a sitting president?
I'd like to see her try. And then they said it was a Trump lawyer. I don't know how close he is to the Trump lawyer team, but he was on InfoWars a couple days ago. And he said,
still happening.
Letitia James can try, but we're going to go after her fat blank or put her fat blank in prison or something like that. Whoa, that escalated pretty quickly.
Yeah, that's probably in prison. So, I mean, once again, this has happened too, where you've seen the movement in politics where things that couldn't be done in the legislative branch, right? The legislative branch didn't do, were moved to the judicial, right? So many decisions that have come in from the Supreme Court were things that were from the laws, right? The legislative branch, they didn't get it done correctly, and they instead of fighting it out in the legislative, they take it and push it to, you know, they get a case and run to the Supreme Court with it. And those things get decided there. Same thing here is if you can't get, you know, at the voting box, if at the polling place, you can't get it done, then you're going to make up for it in prosecuting in the judicial branch.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's like where these things that were legislative now go to reside.
Yeah, I'd like to see like the Supreme Court case in, I don't know, just 3 decades ago compared to what it is now. It'd be interesting to see how many more things they push to the courts than they used to do legislatively, like you said just there.
Coming right back. We're going to grab a call and some text here as we wrap it up on this Friday.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Roll on here on a Friday, too. It is a Friday. You got college football ahead of you. Hopefully you've filled out your college pick'em. And it's also on a Friday that we give away that $100 gift certificate from my man Joey at Mason Hills Farm. And let's do this caller 6 at 343-0106. Caller 6 at 343-0106. You got a $100 gift certificate to Mason Hills Farm. So stock up, whether you get that for the holidays or a college football weekend cookout or whatever you're doing. A $100 gift certificate to Mason Hills Farm. It's caller number 6 right now at 343-0106. So good luck in that. Also, if you're looking forward to the weekend here, I got this story from Fox 10 from Ashlyn Mitchell. And it came from the Mobile County Health Department. It says, so this is from Fox 10. Says, Narcan vending machines are now in Mobile County, ready to save lives. Mobile County Health Department is partnering with LTS Health to open 5 kiosks that will dispense Narcan and condoms for free to the community. I guess that's a setup for a big weekend. You got a big weekend coming up. I don't know what you got planned, but you're like, listen, before we get this weekend started, let me get some Narcan and some condoms. Now, listen, the Narcan thing, neither of the things bother me that you're distributing those. I think the Narcan, it's a shame we have to have it, but with the number of, you know, overdoses and fentanyl and all that out there, I think it's not a horrible thing to have in the mix. But if this, they're combining it. This is the one thing I just got to ask. They're combining it. It says, so Mobile County Health Department says starting this week, 5 vending machines are placed across the county. Machines dispense Narcan nasal spray that will help reverse opioid overdoses. But if someone does need Narcan, health experts say they will still need medical attention. You'll need to call 911 too. Listen, the Narcan thing it's a shame that we have it, but it's like when the state of Alabama started saying, well, it's not illegal to have Narcan. I said, that's good. We don't need it to be illegal to have something that saves people's lives. But it's interesting, the combination. And I don't care if the people get condoms. It doesn't bother me either. But putting them together, I just don't. Are they getting people ready for the weekend? Here's your Narcan. Here's your condom. Because it goes on in the story and says, Vista Medical says each person can receive up to 2 packages of Narcan and 2 packages of condoms per month. So they said, and they got them throughout the county. So there you go. If you're getting ready for the weekend, you get you some Narcan, get you some condoms, time to party.
Does the Narcan condom vending machine have the same hang-ups as your normal vending machines?
Well, that's why I wonder. If you're in there and you're having to like hit it like you're doing an Oklahoma drill
right,
to try to knock the stuff. You've seen me before trying to get the chip thing, uh-huh, you know, and having to knock them around. I don't know. It says...
Or if you're, you know, if you're at a vending machine, you want pretzels and you accidentally get, you know, cookies or something, you'll go, right. Well, it's all right. Well, I'll eat the cookies, but... If you're going for one of those things, condom, and you get the Narcan.
Well, then you got the Narcan.
Then you got the Narcan.
But what I don't get is if it's a vending machine, but you're only allowed 2 packages of condoms and 2 packages of Narcan a month.
Maybe some kind of an ID scanning
maybe
thing going
it is.
On there.
Maybe it is. Maybe that's what it says. Service is completely free. Okay, here you go. All you have to do is enter a phone number and some basic information before the machine dispenses what you need. So, like, whatever number, made-up number you use, mm-hmm, at the gas station to be part of their, like, tobacco or alcohol club, yeah, or whatever it is to get the discount, just throw that number in there.
Good to go.
And you're good to go on that.
As many Narcans as you want.
If you use a different number each time, you could just stock up.
Congratulations to Wes picking up the... $100 gift certificate to Cha-ching. Mason Hills, and it's been great meeting so many of y'all that have won those over these weeks. Everybody coming in fired up and ready to head out to Grand Bay and make their selections, and man, that food is awesome. That meat he's got there is awesome, so congratulations, Wes. Can't wait to come by and pick that up and then go get some of that Mason Hills.
All right, good deal. And we'll do it again next week, the whole way through college football season, which still has...
a lot of weeks left. Yeah, you've probably another 5 or 6 in the regular season, then you've got bowl season. They won't wrap the actual playoffs and championship until mid to late January. That's how late the season's going to go.
Why?
Because it's a 12-team playoff now. So it just goes. Senior Bowl won't be until February 1st this year.
Okay, so... but sometimes it falls in.
I think sometimes they kind of try to line it up just before the Super Bowl, if I remember correctly, with the Senior Bowl. But this will be the longest college season there's ever been, for sure.
Which is good for fans like us.
Yeah.
College football. All right. Let's see. I can't read that one. Let's see. Which one's... Yeah, somebody earlier said it'd be smart for Biden to pardon Trump and any of any wrongdoings and include his son Hunter in the pardons, all to help heal the nation.
Yeah. I think they should do the, was it the Predator, when you had the handshake between Trump, I mean, between Schwarzenegger and, oh man, Apollo Creed. I can't remember his name. They have that, you know, the handshake where they're doing it there in the jungle of the Predator.
Yeah, that...
I can't believe I'm forgetting Apollo Creed's name.
Oh, but my gosh. If you
Carl Weathers, thank you.
Woo,
if you get a little Biden, little Biden Trump Predator handshake, Biden pardons Trump, Trump gets into office, pardons Hunter, then everything's copacetic after that.
What do you think? What are the betting odds on that?
Well, Biden, they've actually said this week, I think, that they continued saying they will not pardon Hunter, which is interesting to me.
All right. Well, I think his little exchange, yeah, that's fine. I mean, would you trade that? Would you trade for? The problem is, though, that you get the pardon for Trump there. That doesn't mean the state side, like what's happened in New York, it doesn't matter for state cases.
But he can ask governors for pardons in those state cases.
Yeah, so he's going to ask Hochul for a pardon?
That's the one that is kind of weird. Kemp, you think Kemp would pardon him?
Yeah, probably.
They've probably come together on a little nicer terms. Yeah, I don't know if Hochul will be pardoning him. And I think he has a better... rating right now in New York than she does, New York State.
Trump really? Does.
She has tanked her approval rating in New York State over the last 2 years.
Well, that's pretty interesting. We'll see what comes of that. All right, heads up that next week, Monday, once again, Veterans Day, please get out and check out the parade. If you get a chance, stop by and see us as before the parade gets started down there. Plus, you have coming up on Monday, the awarding, the fancy award for our own Tom Claxton, Veteran of the Year, is determined by the South Alabama Veterans Council. They're pretty proud of that, man, so we'll be cheering that on Monday.
And then we're going to keep doing these veterans interviews all month long. So.
Yes, absolutely. Next week, Sergeant Major Battaglia. We also have Bryant Knight on the show, Admiral Davis on the show, Patrick Jump on the show.
Wow.
Lots coming up next week.
That's awesome.
Bomb Bomb's next. Y'all have a great weekend.